Good evening, everyone. It is Tuesday, February 23rd, 2021 at 7:01 p.m. And this is a regular assembly meeting of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska. Tonight, the Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Assembly Member Ryan Howe.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America.
And to the republic for which it stands,
one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have certainly had some interesting Zoom challenges in this pandemic, and the Pledge of Allegiance is truly one of them. You did an admirable job there, Ryan. Thank you. We let Assembly Member Gilbert off the hook. She's done about 200 pledges, I think, through her tenure. So thank
you. She has a flag.
A flag. Good for you. All right. Thank you, Ryan. This evening, we have no ceremonial matters. Item number two, roll call, please, Kim.
Yes. Assembly members Morrison.
Here.
Ryan Howe.
Here.
Dalrymple.
Here.
David Powell. Corson.
Here.
Gilbert?
Here.
And Mayor Prasanka.
And I am present. Kim, could I just ask you, Assembly Member Powell a quick text just to see if he's coming on. I know that his intention was, and I just want to make sure he's not having any technical glitches that he's down in Ketchikan. So.
Okay, I will.
Yeah. Persons to be heard. I understand that Superintendent Dr. Lancaster is on the line. I see you there, Debbie. Welcome. Would you like to go ahead, please?
Yes. Oh, thank you so much. Well, good evening, Mayor Prasanka, City Borough Manager Von Bargen, Assembly, and community members. I want to thank you for the chance to be heard tonight. My purpose of my little talk tonight is to just give a brief update on the school district. So I've got to say it's with absolute pleasure that I report that we have had in-person learning since our school year began. This was not possible without consistent and adaptive planning from our entire team. As you know, our efforts for planning this school year began in June, and the primary mitigation plan was turned into the state at the end of July. Other than some minor deviations or minor changes, we're basically doing everything today that we did when our original plan started back in July. And we've adhered to the CDC guidelines as closely as possible since the beginning. And at the end of each month, or more frequently if needed, our leadership team meets and determines our next steps. We check to see what works and we check to see what kind of refinement we need to make as we move forward. Our enrollment has increased from 178 students at the end of October to 203. Now, this is down from last year. Last year, we had 306 on the average. Our classes have outgrown our cohort capacity due to room spacing limitations to allow for social distancing. But our creative staff has utilized common areas to replace the classrooms. Rising enrollment is a great problem to have. And as the community is vaccinated and there's a rise in parental confidence, we've been able to continue our plans in serving our students in creative and safe ways. In addition to our regular classroom activities, we offer small groups to add to the students' learning experience. And the activities include homework clubs, a chess club, a soccer club, which, you know, I was asking where you play soccer, but they play in the gym. And then we offer extra tutoring and the BASE group. Now, BASE stands for building a supportive environment. And this is a group of students that is banded together to help improve the school. Their mission statement is to improve the school socially, academically, and aesthetically. They've been instrumental in many endeavors, and you're going to be able to read all about them in the paper later this week. There will be a full article, and I encourage each of you to read and see how creative, innovative, and hardworking our students are during this completely strange school year. Together, we rely on each other to keep the energy going. Our charge is difficult because every day has an undertone of intensity. Our staff is second to none. The focus is on staying open for student learning, and we are about to end the third quarter of our school year without closing our brick and mortar classrooms. Parent conferences, report cards, MAP testing, they're all much a big part of our academic discussions. Our students have done very well on their winter scores, which is wonderful. And we're going to be reporting that a little later in the month, or maybe next month. Part of the reason's pretty interesting, though. One would think it's because we have these little small cohorts and they get all this great one-on-one and that sort of thing. Well, that's partially true. However, as a veteran educator, I believe a big part of it is because students and staff want to be in school. Wanting to be in school is not an ordinary sentiment typically found in middle and high school students. However, students and staff appreciate each and every day we are open to welcome them. Wanting to be in school sets a foundation for more effective learning. Teachers are able to interact with students who actually want to be there, you know, for the most part. As far as regular season activities, our activities director and principal at the secondary schools has been working closely with other districts and OSSA to provide the safest and most predictable activity setting, regardless of the activity. This year, we've been able to have cross country, volleyball, basketball, and middle school wrestling. The regular wrestling season has been postponed and is scheduled to begin March the 15th. We created a travel committee a few months ago that meets each week and determines whether traveling out of Wrangell or allowing teams to come into Wrangell is feasible. Our efforts to continue student activities has taken many, many hours of planning and revising. And unless there's a safety issue, plans are not varied during the event. Most events have gone with minor deviations. If part of our protocol is broken, we meet immediately and make sure that we remedy any deviations. We work very closely with the public health department and seek advice from the EOC. I truly appreciate their availability. I have spoken with Jamie Roberts for various reasons. On many weekends, I always wonder if she ever has a day off. I want to sincerely thank the EOC for their help and recommendations and providing information to make our difficult choices over these past months. This week, our staff is reaching out to legislators with written testimony to ask for support with our fiscal needs due to the decreased enrollment, for support with our social emotional learning needs, and for increased literacy. We have a united effort, and I'm proud that we have so many voices from our staff as these committees are meeting each week. Our school board has been busy at work with the superintendent search. I'm pleased to report that they've selected four great candidates. And because this is such an important decision, the school board is offering several ways to provide input during this process. Please reach out to Mrs. Kim Powell, the school board secretary, for more information about providing your input. There's so much more to say, but my time is limited, and you're probably glad that as the communities around us experience spikes, and I know you've heard about them, Petersburg is what, up to 28. Because this is happening, we want to provide ability to contact us. And so I welcome questions in our new email address, and it's very simply information@wpsd.us. So it's very simple, very basic. Please email questions, concerns, comments. It's very important for me to hear your voice. I want to say thank you so sincerely for your time this evening, and we wish each and every one of you a safe and restful evening. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lancaster. I really appreciate you coming on tonight and sharing that with us. And I want to point something out. And I've said this to Dr. Lancaster before. The school was absolutely bold in the move to open, and they did so by putting forth a mask mandate. And trust me, I understand how unpopular that is. And because they did that, it is my belief that they actually lost some students. And so in essence, they were punished by doing the responsible thing. So I just want to say, you know, kudos. You guys pulled it off and you're doing a great job. And I'm knocking on wood right now because I hope you continue on. But thank you for that update. It was really nice to get that positive news. So appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
That Kim, I have down that Julie Decker would like to, former assembly member Julie Decker would like to speak to item 13E. Or Julie, I'm going to give you the option of doing it now, or you can do it at 13E. There you are.
Hi.
Hi.
Sorry, I'm a little slow on the draw. I'll wait just in case there's questions. I'd like to be able to answer them. So I'll patiently wait. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you, Julie. Kim, is there anyone else under persons to be heard?
Oh, Mr. Mayor, I have nobody else that signed up.
Okay. Out of deference to Julie, could I please ask under the next item, which is item 4, that we move 13E to 13A and release poor Ms. Decker from having to sit through the entire new business section, if someone wouldn't mind making that amendment to the agenda. She's done her time, let's face it. Amendments to the agenda. Is there any amendments to the agenda?
I move to move up item 13E and replace 13A.
I'll second that.
13E or is it 13? I apologize, you guys. Which one is it?
13E.
13E. Okay, 13E, if we can move that to 13A. And it sounds like Assembly Morrison has seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, poll vote please, Kim.
Yes, Assembly Members Ryan Howe.
Yes.
Dalrymple.
Yes.
David Powell.
Yes.
Horson.
Yes.
Gilbert.
Yes.
Morrison.
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka.
Yes, thank you. Is there any other amendments to the agenda? Hearing none, item number 5, conflicts of interest. Does anybody have a conflict of interest with any agenda item tonight? Okay, hearing none. Item number 6, consent agenda. There is a motion for the consent agenda.
Move to approve consent agenda as presented.
Move. We have a second.
I'll second it.
Morrison seconded. Thank you. Any discussion on the consent agenda items? Hearing none. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Dalrymple.
Yes.
David Powell.
Yes.
Horson.
Yes.
Gilbert.
Yes.
Morrison.
Yes.
Ryan Howe.
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka.
Number 7, Borough Manager's Report. Lisa, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, I'd like to start this evening by asking Jamie Roberts to give the COVID-19 update, please.
Ms. Roberts, are you on the line?
Sure thing. I'm having connectivity issues, so I may turn my camera off if it goes unstable, but I don't know what's going on today. Good evening, Mayor, Assembly, Borough Manager, friends and neighbors in Wrangell. Just a update on what's going on in the realm of COVID since the last time we gave a report, which was 2 weeks ago, to the Assembly. So statewide, over the last 2 weeks, there's been 1,813 cases, 56 hospitalizations, and 3 deaths. The state alert levels, there's 11 regions in the state. 7 of those regions are in high, including the Ketchikan and the POW region. And 4 of those are in the intermediate, which includes our region. I imagine we will be trending more toward the high in the very near future here. Statewide, there's 37 ICU beds available. Currently, the MATSU is out of ICU beds and Anchorage has 7. Southeast Alaska has 14 beds currently. In terms of vaccinations, there's been 144,419 persons vaccinated, and of that, more than 60% of those folks have received both doses. And so in Southeast, and again, these are the cases over the last 14 days. And so Wrangell has 2 active cases currently. POW has 0. Sitka is reporting 4 cases. Ketchikan is reporting 14 active cases. Juneau reporting 24 cases. And as of just a little while ago, Petersburg is now up to 30 active cases.
Wow.
My heart really goes out to them right now. They're kind of experiencing what we at the EOC have had concerns about since COVID has started. And I just want to share some info that's been shared and highlighted today from Petersburg. We can kind of get some lessons learned and kind of have an understanding of what they're going through. And so out of their cases, two of those are healthcare workers. So it's putting a strain on their healthcare system, which was already kind of operating in a skeleton capacity to begin with. And 26 of their cases are from the last 7 days. The cumulative total cases is growing larger by the day, and many of the cases are still under investigation, and contact tracing is really difficult right now. Their cases are predominantly symptomatic cases that have been infected through community spread. And so the Petersburg incident commander has stated that there doesn't seem to be any one event or any one location that is a source of this outbreak, but that community spread is happening in many locations and is affecting many different groups of people. According to today's Rain Coast data, 44% of Petersburg has been vaccinated. So this is kind of interesting. So they've had positive cases in which, you know, the individuals have received their first dose of the vaccination. They haven't had any cases in individuals that are considered fully vaccinated. So that's good to hear. But it is a good reminder that, you know, you're not fully vaccinated until 2 weeks after you've received that second dose. And so even then, the CDC is still recommending that you follow all the same mitigation measures because it's not known whether you can still transmit the virus. So they're also seeing cases where folks have tested negative multiple times over a span of 7 days and then 8 days or later are testing positive. So this really highlights the importance of, you know, testing after you travel and then making sure you go back for that second follow-up test. And because of the sudden increase in cases, school has gone to distance learning for the week. Borough buildings have been closed to the public. They're going to reassess this situation on Monday. And the borough is recommending that residents cancel or avoid all gatherings, that they only travel for critical needs, that essential businesses end all walk-in traffic, and that bars, restaurants, personal services, and gyms close. They had an assembly meeting this morning in which they renewed multiple local mandates that included their international, interstate, and intrastate travel testing, and also the requirement for their critical infrastructure to submit workforce protection plans. And of course, they've had a mask mandate in place. They have a whole team at the state that is working hand in hand with Petersburg right now to make sure that they can complete that contact tracing and identify all the cases that are going on. So, like I said, my heart really goes out to them. I know they're really feeling it right now, and it's just, you know, they go from feeling fine to this situation in a very short amount of time. So aside from that, other news that's happening within our area and around the state is thanks to Search and those of you willing to get vaccinated, 872 Wrangell residents have been vaccinated, and more than 65% of those have completed the two-dose series. And anyone that is 16 or older can register to receive the vaccine at this time. So, you know, continue to spread the word and share your stories about your vaccination with your family and friends within our community, and we'll see if we can't keep increasing that number. Of course, the emergency declaration has expired and the health mandates have changed to health advisories. There's currently 4 health advisories in place, and they cover recommendations for keeping Alaskans safe, international and interstate travel, intrastate travel, and critical infrastructure, which includes 4 appendices that cover the fishing industry. And I really recommend that everyone takes a look at that health advisory number 1. It's really a great summary of what each of us can do to protect ourselves, our loved ones, our communities. And it also gives a nice Cliff Notes version of what to do if you've tested positive or you've had close contact with a confirmed case, and some guidance around testing and travel. And with that declaration expiring, you know, we have House Bill 76 right now, which would extend the governor's declaration of that disaster and it's scheduled to be discussed in the House Finance Committee on the 26th of February. So that would be Friday. So let's hope that, you know, they can get through that quickly now that the House is finally organized. Yay. Also, the FDA Advisory Committee will be meeting this Friday to discuss emergency authorization of the Johnson & Johnson candidate vaccine. So hopefully soon we'll have one more vaccine to add to our toolbox. And that's a single dose vaccine. So, you know, that, and it can be stored at a different temperature. So it'll give some more options in rural areas of Alaska. Also, one thing I want to get out to our residents is there's an Alaska Housing Rent Relief Program that's going on right now. I know we have it on our city Facebook page, but because the deadline is soon approaching on the 5th, I really want to get more information out. And that is an Alaska Housing and Finance Corporation program that provides up to 12 months of rent and utility relief to eligible Alaskan renters who have been impacted by COVID-19. So even if you've received rent relief from AFH or Alaska Housing and Finance in the past, you can still apply to this program. The application period does close at 11:59 p.m. on March 5th. And you can check your eligibility online by visiting alaskahousingrelief.org and answering just 7 check the box questions. And many Alaskans think that they make too much money to qualify, but that's often not the case. So go ahead and check that program out. I know I was on a meeting with a state last week and they said that they feel they have enough funding that anybody that wants to apply to the program can be covered. So really want you to help me get that word out. And also there's a new source of state funding that's being made available to local governments around the state for activities to increase access to COVID testing and vaccine in the community and for strategies to decrease health inequities. I attended a pre-award technical assistance meeting today. And according to that meeting, Wrangell's eligible for just over $125,000. And the application deadline is March 15th for that program. And also the state was notified this afternoon of their March federal vaccine allocation. They didn't give out a number yet, but they said that it's looking really great for March for vaccine allocation. So we're continuing to see a lot of positives happening around the state for vaccine allocation. And I'll just leave you with, you know, the tasks that we continue to work on are just really staying engaged at the state and local level regarding funding and resources for our community. And also just to continue to provide answers to all the questions and concerns that we receive on a daily basis. That's all I have. If you guys have any questions, I'll stick around.
Mr. Mayor, you're on mute.
Thank you, Jamie. Does anybody have any questions for Jamie? I'd just like to point out, I did reach out to the Petersburg mayor twice today. And I know that Lynn, Dr. Prasanka, also reached out to let Petersburg know that we are willing to do whatever we can to help them at this time. And the mayor emphasized to me that the situation is quite grave. They're very concerned. They did have this emergency meeting that Jamie referenced, and he is asking that anybody traveling into the community to please test and please ensure that you're isolating, that they're very worried about their capacity to deal with this. So it's a very grave situation over there. And, you know, we wish them well. And again, we will do whatever we can to assist Petersburg. So let's keep them in our thoughts as we move forward. Lisa, it'd be back to you then.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll try to go through the other reports swiftly. So the Alaska Permanent Capital Management January report is in the agenda packet for your review, but the assembly had requested that we have a presentation or our annual visit from Alaska Permanent Capital Management. They are going to be at the April 27th meeting. That gives us an opportunity to make sure that we've got all the first quarter reports in for the performance of the funds that they're managing. So they'll be at the April 27th meeting. Couple of other items here that I wanted to go over with regard to water quality. The borough issued a press release on the 19th of February with the results of the special January sample that was taken for water quality, and I was happy to be able to report that the HAA5 level is at 42.1, or was in January at 42.1, which is well below the allowable limit of 60. Again, that's not going to impact our official running average number that we have, as I explained in the press release. But right now, the drinking water level as of the January sample was 42.1. So that's very good news. We will have a professional services agreement on the agenda for the assembly at the first meeting in March to bring a consultant in that will be helping us look at root cause analysis for the increase in HAA5 levels and assist with other operational reviews at the water treatment plant. So that'll be coming forward very soon. I wanted to talk about the Wrangell Medical Center transition, if that's okay, Mr. Mayor.
Please.
So as everybody's aware, the hospital is almost fully transitioned into the new facility. I believe they only have a cohort of CNAs still doing some work in the old hospital. So they are essentially moved. We have been served with two documents as were required by the asset purchase agreement and the lease we had with Search. The first of those items is the notice that that Search completed their obligations to build a new hospital on the Woodcock campus site and relocate hospital operations. And because they have met this threshold, our ability to reacquire the property expired within 30 days of the date of that notice. They obviously met the threshold, the hospital's built, they're in the hospital. So now the property is theirs and we have no more right to reacquire the property. The second thing that we've been provided with is the notice of termination of the lease. And that was required 60 days in advance of their intention to be fully out of the building. And so at the termination of that, we will be fully responsible for the building again. We are working with Search to determine the transition of personal property that will be left behind, that Search is not planning to take with them to the new facility, and how that will be disposed of, or how we will, what will become ours. Essentially, every piece of personal property in the hospital is under the ownership and control of Search up until the time that the lease, that the 60-day period ends. Anything remaining at that time period is considered abandoned and is therefore then becomes our responsibility. So we want to make sure that things aren't being left behind that would then become a huge burden on the municipality. So we're working with Search regarding that. We are hoping to get a list of items that they intend to leave behind from the Search maintenance folks. And Amber has been working diligently trying to get that list. The other thing that Amber is trying to organize is a walkthrough of the building with the Search maintenance staff of the existing Wrangell, of the old hospital, so that we understand all of the maintenance checks and things that they've been doing on the systems, so that we can make sure that we have that dialed in and know what we're gonna have to do once we take over responsibility of that building. Once that's been done, we are going to be scheduling a work session with the assembly, because we need to make sure that we understand what status the building should be held in, what the expectation is for the use of that building. We've already had one request from Hospice of Wrangell to be able to use the building for storage of medical supplies for their lending closet. That'll be coming to the assembly at the next meeting as well. So lots to work through as that transition continues, but we'll be coming together to ask for a work session. The other thing I would like to do is I'd like to ask the assembly if we could schedule a special work session just a work session on an off meeting night, Thursday, the 11th of March. Amber has made arrangements. She gave a couple of different dates to the multidisciplinary engineering group that did the study on the public safety building. And they are available to meet on the 11th of March if the assembly is.
What time are you thinking for that, Lisa?
Amber gave them the time frame of approximately 6 to 8, but we can certainly do it at the assembly's pleasure.
Would 6:30 work for folks?
Sure.
Okay. So we'll ask for that to get scheduled, Kim, at 6:30 p.m. on March 11th.
And finally, Mr. Mayor, if there are no other questions about my stuff, I indicated in the budget and finance report that I would have additional information to provide. I need to ask the assembly if I can please provide specifics on what I call the anomalies in the budget, sort of the red numbers that you see at the next meeting. I'm having a very difficult time. By the time that that our finance director is able to do the reconciliations for the month, get stuff in the packet, my ability to meet with staff to talk about some of these things and then get that information into a presentation to give to you is very difficult. So I want to still be able to give you the reporting out, the raw budgetary information that you're getting at the second meeting of each month, but I'd like to maybe be able to do the discussion of that at the following meeting to make sure that we have time to address these things appropriately, if that would be okay with the assembly.
Does anybody have any comments or concerns about that? Assemblymember Powell.
I think it's knowledge that the school is reporting a month behind because so that they can have accurate member or accurate numbers, because that's something that we may look into.
Yeah, what Joyce and I discussed today is she said even like major corporations that have hundreds of accountants working for them often do their budgetary reporting 6 weeks after, because it allows for that monthly reconciliation, it allows for review and then presentation. And I don't want to delay stuff. I want to be able to get into a regular rhythm here. But yeah, it would be helpful to have a little bit more lag time. We are going to have a discussion. I actually emailed the staff today, and we're going to have a discussion tomorrow about putting together a process for the staff by which they're reviewing their budget information monthly, so that things are more streamlined in terms of being able to report to you. So I can come back with a recommendation. I just don't want the assembly to think that I'm pushing off this reporting to you. That's absolutely what's not what's happening.
Councilmember Powell, do you have a follow-up on that?
No, but I have another question about another part of her report.
Okay, well, can I get you just to hold and we'll just finish up if there's any other questions? You bet, thank you. Is there any other questions on the budgetary information? Okay, I'm not seeing anything. Assemblymember Powell, do you have another question?
Yeah, City Manager, the thing on the cam or on the time clocks, you're looking into it another way. And also, I have a suggestion that maybe we talk to the school about our tablets. Maybe we can get a different price on them through some kind of joint thing with the school, because it just seems kind of expensive. Just maybe an idea.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, may I respond?
Please, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Assemblymember Powell, I agree. We can take a look at we can talk to the school district about what they have. The reason why this is the quote that was presented is because this ties in directly to our finance software. And so,
Lisa, what I'm saying is I just the tablet part of it alone, oh. I'm looking at maybe they have a better pricing that we can get on the tablets. I don't know if that's possible or not. I understand about the other part. I was just, maybe they might give us a better price on some tablets and may be able to help us out with that.
Thank you. I'm just making a note here.
And when are we looking at installation of this, Lisa? When do you hope to get that project done?
Mr. Mayor, I was planning on bringing the approval of this to you here, actually, either at this meeting or the next meeting, but with Joyce's departure, she's the one that manages and has all the functional knowledge and capability about our finance software. And I'm a little hesitant to deploy that with her being gone here in the near future in March. So I'm trying to figure out, there may be an alternate way to do this. There may be another individual that has the capacity to help us do this implementation, but I'm not ready to report on that yet. So as soon as I can bring something to you, I will.
Okay. Just want to encourage you to keep pushing forward with that project. Is there any other questions on City Manager's report?
Nope.